The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So building on that guided meditation that we did, but the simile of the raft. You know, the story is this enduring story that, I've heard certainly so many times as part of the Dharma teachings, and it shows up in little different places in the suttas, in different settings. And the story is, as I said at the beginning of the guided meditation, is there's this traveler who comes to a big flood, a big body of water, and they feel like where they are is not where they want to be, but they could see on the other side of the water this idea that over there it would be better. And then how do they get there? How do they get to the other side of the water? And part of the reason I think that why this simile of the raft, there's a number of reasons, but one is why it's been preserved through all these years, because I would say it shows how practice really works. It's not about we have these beautiful, shiny electric power tools and we go to the lumber yard and get fantastic, you know, whatever one builds a raft out of. Some type of lumber or something that's like the perfect ones, right? We don't have the perfect tools. We don't have the perfect materials. We work with whatever's here in our life. And in this simile of the raft, he's twigs, branches, leaves. You know, he just looks down. What's here? Instead of waiting until, you know, somebody, a vendor comes by selling the perfect raft materials or, you know, something like this. I think this is really powerful that it's just what's here. And maybe in some way, like maybe another little simile, when we're making a campfire and we have to, back in the days when people did burn stuff at campfires, when I was a kid, you did this. We're not looking for just the perfect stick or the perfect twig or something like this. We just pick up what's available, what's there to make the fire. So in the same way, whatever our experience is, whatever in that moment is what we make a raft out of. I like that there's this way that in this simile, this traveler, not only are they not ordering exotic lumber, but there's a way in which they're like bending down to pick up the twigs, you know, something very humble and something very ordinary and mundane and things that we might otherwise not notice. In fact, we would even be dismissive of like, oh, who cares about twigs and branches? I have to get enlightened, or I have to get rid of this discomfort. I need some big Shazam experience, or I need to have some particular experience. But it's really just about noticing what's right here in this moment, this breath, this thought that's arising, that's, you know, probably has a flavor of I want something or I don't want something, or maybe just the coolness of the air coming out of the air conditioning there. Just something simple. Again and again and again. But there's this way in which, okay, so this maybe we have gathered some twigs and branches and leaves, but this pile is not yet a raft. It's just a pile of branches, twigs, and leaves. And so there's a way we might say, this is my interpretation of this building the raft. It's this movement from being lost in thought, this movement of coming back to be present to whether it's the breath or the pressure against the body of what we're sitting on. It's that movement from being lost in thought back to noticing is what's kind of like is the tie that's binding the pieces together that help make the raft. It's the just coming back again and again and again. So there's these things that we're noticing, but it's this movement of coming back that helps bind it together. Otherwise, we might think like, oh, I have to just be noticing one thing after another, and we might have this value judgment that if we ever are getting lost in thoughts, that somehow that doesn't count. But no, it does count. And it's this maybe intentional movement of coming back to noticing whatever the twigs and leaves are of this moment. So this way, instead of being swept away by evaluations, judgments, the inner critic, stories, preferences, all these things that are really compelling, and they, our minds are used to this, they like to follow them, to think that we're going to solve the next problem or be entertained for the next few moments or something like that. It's the letting go of those and coming back to whatever the experience is and the bodily experience. To be sure, we can notice, like, oh yeah, that was a judgment. Oh yeah, that's me wishing to have some other mental experience than the one I'm having. As long as we notice, maybe that's the point, it's the noticing. But it's so much easier to notice bodily experiences than mental experiences. Most often we're lost in mental experiences. And then when we notice them, there's like, oh, there I was judging how I think that that person shouldn't have said that to me earlier today. And then when we notice that we're judging, so often there is this next beat, oh, I'm judging, and I shouldn't. Oh, there I go again. I'm judging that I'm judging. Oh, shoot. Now I'm judging that I'm judging. I'm never going to get this right. Look, everybody else is doing it. And brrr, off we go in this story. So we often aren't noticing what's happening, like the beat that happens after we notice whatever the mental event is. And that's often what is takes us away. It's so much easier to just notice. We might notice, oh, there's judgment or an evaluation. And it's so much easier just then to feel a bodily experience, because that kind of like interrupts the momentum of the story making and this narrative and this idea that we have about how things should be or how they shouldn't be, or plans we're making about how we're going to control somebody else or control ourselves or something like this. But I love this way, this whole idea of a raft, because the raft is something that can support us. And one way that I'm thinking about this raft is it's this just this momentum that happens when we are just coming back again and again in a simple, easy way to whatever's being noticed. Very often in Dharma teachers, when we're giving instructions, we're talking about rest on the breath. And I started us by saying with the breath and then opened it up to whatever the experience is. Some people like to stay with the breath for a while because it can be, it can help create a little bit more steadiness and collectiveness. But I like this idea of maybe start with the breath just to, as I said, support some collectiveness, but then to open it up and just notice what's happening, because our life is filled with just simple things that are happening. And it's so nice to bring, you know, just awareness to the simple things, mundane things, instead of feeling like, oh, I have to be in a meditation posture, my eyes closed, I have to do it in a particular way. Instead, if we practice with being with the breath and then opening it up, the mind just gets used to noticing whatever's happening while we're driving, while we're eating, while we're getting dressed for work or whatever it might be, something like this. So that's an advantage. But it also can be maybe to open it up to whatever is being experienced. It also can be a way in which we feel a little scattered and a little ungrounded in some kind of way. So this can be a practice to learn how to do this. And I would say, this is how I practice. And I know it works for others. It doesn't necessarily work for everybody. With the breath, just to feel a certain like steadiness and settledness happening, and then open it up. And then if I feel like, oh, I'm just lost in thoughts or something, just very simply come back to the breath again. So in a very relaxed, easy way is how we can be collecting these branches, twigs, and leaves for this raft that we're building. And then, interestingly, in this simile, it talks about making effort with hands and feet. I love this idea, effort with hands and feet. So they don't build a paddle instead they're hands and feet. I'm assuming they're like lying on their stomach, right, and having to do this or something to get with the raft. Something that I like about this image is they're getting wet. They are like touching the water. They are aware of the water. So it's not like they are in some pristine ivory tower somewhere thinking about crossing the river or the flood or something like that. But they're actually experiencing it. They're using what they created, this raft, but they still have to do some work. And what the nature is of that work, maybe, is just hanging in there, not stopping. And maybe not feeling like that we can't engage with what's, or maybe engage isn't the right word, maybe be in contact with what's happening. Maybe I'm stretching this simile a little bit too far, but I like this idea though of, you know, making effort with hands and feet. It just feels like it's not like we build a raft which has a momentum, some settledness, and then we just coast. But there's always a little bit of effort to maybe navigate or to recognize, as I said, when the mind is getting a little scattered, to come back to the breath. We could say that's maybe some intentional effort. So there's this way, maybe mindfulness of the body is, we could think of pedaling with hands and feet. I don't know. Maybe you can, for your own self, have an idea of the amount of effort. I'll say that this is often a question that comes up when people are in practice about effort. And they often use the expression right effort. Right effort has a very classical, technical definition. But what often people are asking is, what the answer they want is something different. They want to know, well, how much effort, like how much willpower, how much like striving should I be doing? Or should I just be, just, oh yeah, when something arises, just notice that. And the answer is, this is the art of practice. Sometimes there's a little bit more effort, especially if the mind is really busy. Then we have to maybe make some more determined effort. But after we've been practicing for a while, there's a little bit more momentum and steadiness, then there's less effort. So maybe one way to think about this paddling with hands and feet is just doing the amount of effort that's appropriate for that moment, whatever's needed at that time. So there's this way that crossing the flood, and the flood is whatever makes us feel overwhelmed or just feels like too much, whatever. We can cross the flood just little by little, moment by moment, by tuning into or noticing whatever the present moment experience is. And notice how I'm not talking about figuring everything out, fixing all the problems. I know we want to do this, and it is important to fix problems. It is important to understand things. But there's also important sometimes just to notice and be present for what's being experienced. So often we use trying to fix the problem or figure it out as a way to distract ourselves, as a way to avoid what's actually being known in the moment, the flood. And so can we just be with the experience? And here's the beautiful part about practice. We don't have to be with the most difficult, troubling experience in the moment. If there's a flood happening and we're starting to feel overwhelmed, and chances are it's because we have a whole story going in our mind. Floods, most of the time, are things to do, mental events. Can we just bring to this twigs and sticks the sound of the HVAC system turning on, the feeling of the pressure against your body as you're sitting there, the sound of a voice, just simple, mundane things here. The floods don't vanish in the way that they completely go away, but there's a way. It's not so much that poof, everything all of a sudden dries up and then the flood's not there. But this idea, like we can cross the flood, but I think what maybe another way to think about it, it just stops becoming a flood. Instead, it's just water that's going by, and we can find our way jumping from rock to rock or paddle on our raft across. It's not a huge thing. It's just something that's manageable with a raft that we've created by noticing each moment. So Dharma practice isn't about just waiting until things are calm. It's not waiting until we have the perfect tools or material to build a raft. It's just working with what's happening in a simple way. And it's amazing how not only does this help create a raft that can support us, but the building of the raft also allows the water that's going by to be less of a deluge and more of maybe a river or a creek or something that's more manageable. So now I'd like to provide an opportunity for you guys again to talk to one another. And I'm trying to think of like what kind of a question would be. Here's a question. I brought up this idea of paddling with hands and feet as a way of effort after the raft is built. And so how would you understand that? This idea of, well, what is the effort? What does it mean to, after you've already had a certain amount of steadiness or stability, there's still a certain amount of effort that's needed. What is the effort? Maybe to tune into the steadiness and stability so that you can be aligned with it, or maybe it feels like to, even though the mind likes to get lost in stories or narratives or blaming or something like this, maybe it's the effort to stop doing that, or maybe it's the effort to just not get up and, okay, I feel a little bit better and zoom, off I want to go. Or I'm just providing some examples of what is the effort that's needed after there's a certain amount of stability, after the raft is built and we're paddling with our hands and feet to get across the water. You can be creative with this and playful with this. And it's okay if you don't know, too. Like, I don't know. Just, you can make something up. Right? No, this is true, right? You can make something up. There's a way that we can get stuck and go, oh, I have to find the right answer. I have to figure it out. But just, can this be something that's fun and playful as opposed to, oh, here's a homework assignment. I got to get this done. Something like that. Okay, so if you want to get into groups of three or four, up to you, if you want to be in the same groups or if you want to be in different groups, And this idea of paddling with your hands and feet and effort, how are you interpreting that? Okay. And you'll have about 12, 15 minutes. So we just have a few minutes. If any of you would like to report back, how was this idea of building a raft with twigs, branches, and leaves, things that are just here, often dismissed, or this idea of paddling with hands and feet once the raft is made. Would anybody like to comment how it was to talk about it, how the guided meditation was, how the just this whole notion? I'm like trying to milk this assembly of the raft for everything it's worth. But for me, I like it. I like to think about these things. But can you add to that microphone? I think you probably have to turn it on. Oh, no? Okay.
Yep. Turn it on. On that note of like milking the metaphor, I think a seemingly funny thing came up, which is like being more hyper-specific. And a lot of our discussion made me think of the, and I don't know, this hasn't come up recently, but like the idea of the shores being the English Channel specifically. I remember seeing something recently in an article where like they show the English Channel swimmers like freestyle and how they've done it. And then there's a lot of the if you see the maps of how they do it, they're not just directly crossing from, I don't know, France to England or vice versa. They're not just going in a straight line. Actually, it's very wavy. And so most people's natural reaction, and mine was like, why aren't they going in a straight line? That's so silly. Like, if you look at the map, why are they, like, making zigzags and doing these weird patterns? And so there's a lot of factors that go into it, like how the currents are going and how warm the water is in certain parts, things like that. And so we don't, maybe as we're paddling, we get more aware of that. But to milk the metaphor more, maybe think of this, like, English Channel thing, dynamic.
Fantastic. I love it. Thank you. Paddling with hands and feet, maybe we start to be more sensitive to the currents and realize, oh, I'm going to go over here or something. Yeah, very nice. Or we have to avoid the jellyfish or whatever it is. I don't know. Anybody else have something they'd like to say? Yeah. Mike.
I really appreciate the fact that you just went into that level of detail. I mean, I've lost count of the number of times I've heard about the simile of the raft and crossing to the far shore and putting the raft down when you're done and all that. But there's this whole aspect to it that I've never heard anyone talk about before. It's like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, thank you. I had the same idea. Like, wait, I've heard this, and I never really thought about these twigs, leaves, and branches before. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mike. Okay, so we're at 8 o'clock here. Thank you. Thank you for practicing together. I love practicing together, and it's nice to be able to talk with one another and share some ideas and like this. So I hope you have a wonderful rest of your evening and safe travels home. And if you like, you're welcome to come up here and talk to me. Otherwise, I hope to see you again soon. Thank you.